Welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things,
the podcast.
I'm Naomi.
I'm Macy.
And we're two anxious counselors talking about disturbing things.
And drinking sake.
Kanpai.
Kanpai.
Yummy. I love sake.
Yeah, so I brought sake because it's delicious. This is a cloudy sake. But I brought this because I wasn't feeling a buzz from the ciders. The ciders are good and tasty and crisp.
Maybe they're better for like a kayaking day.
Yeah.
A hot kayaking day.
Yeah.
When you don't actually want to like get drunk, but
yeah,
no. Just a little refreshing, hazy, summery, buzzy day.
Yeah. It's been a long time since I can't remember the end of our podcast.
Damn. So is shit going to get real tonight?
It's going to get so real.
Shit's going to get real, real.
Full bottle. $6. Let's do this.
And I have backup cheap sake that's been in my cupboard for
Are you planning on us drinking all of? Oh my gosh, we're already almost halfway.
No. That's like single serving for me, so.
Well, now I feel less bad.
I already took the cheap stuff that's been hiding away out. It's on the counter.
Oh, so. Perfect. Yeah. It's ready to go.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to episode 68.
Or 98.
Oh, I lied. 98. See, it's already working.
We are two episodes away from our centennial.
Yay.
And we still have no idea what we're going to do.
Gosh, it's like all the procrastination I do in my life.
I tried. I Facebook messaged the author of Haunted Spokane.
Did they reach out?
No. But I at least tried to do a thing.
That's good. I've done nothing.
I've also talked to somebody that lives in an apartment over there by the freeway that says absolutely that it's haunted. It's the Maplehurst. Okay. I know there's been a lot of murders there.
What?
Mm-hmm. So that might be an option.
But like, what do we do? Just go there? Can we get permission?
Oh, no, you don't want to go there.
Well, like, what do
you? It's full of bed bugs.
Ew.
Like infested.
Gross.
No, I was thinking.
Do you sell bugs?
We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
I was thinking that maybe he could call in and just tell us the ghost story of it.
Yeah.
It's a local story, at least.
Yeah, I don't think that's 100th episode.
Well, you don't have anything. At least I'm hustling.
We're definitely going to do a Hot Wings challenge. That's going to happen.
I don't even like Hot Wings.
Me neither.
Can mine be vegan?
No. I was gonna just put all mine in honey barbecue and then tell you mine was hot like yours and see what happened.
You know, if we're gonna do it, we have to do like the hot ones first we feast.
Yeah,
you
know, where it's, I know.
Like, gets progressively hotter.
Yeah, we have to actually legit go all the way. I do have a ghost pepper.
We have to actually like have a Scoville.
A Scoville rating.
Yes.
Maybe we should contact that guy and see if he'll do a Hot Wing Challenge with us.
You know what? I think he's way too famous for that.
That's what we thought about the scientist.
Fabio.
You know, sometimes if you just sound like you're cooler than you are, sometimes that gets to people's ego. They like hearing about themselves.
I'm good at coming off as confident when on the inside I'm just dying.
Okay, well, we'll...
That's what people tell me. They're like, you seem so confident. I'm like, oh my God, on the inside, I'm crying, sweating.
I know, like, how are you so calm? I'm, like, having a panic attack inside, but thank you. We're getting closer because we're ruling things out. I like that idea, but I don't like it for our 100th because it's, like, what, letting someone else talk during our 100th episode?
Well, I wanted to go to a place, but I heard how infested it was. I mean, we could stand outside.
I don't want bed bugs. That's not worth it to me. But I feel like we could figure out something else cooler.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks.
Well, I'm excited to see what you come up with, what you bring to the table.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Deal. Game on.
Like Donkey Kong.
My dad said we could go to Big Cabin, Oklahoma.
Too far and I don't fly.
He already had somebody go out there as a worker and they left today. They literally have been there a day.
So Macy's dad, you were supposed to go to where the Hex House used to be that is now a parking lot and see if it felt haunted.
He's not going to drive to Tulsa for that. That's not going to happen.
How far away is that from where
he is?
That's
like almost 2 hours.
Oh my God. So doable. I would do it.
Yeah. It's not gonna. Oh, it's 1 hour. He said it's still not gonna happen.
Let's just not say no so quickly.
He said too far.
Let's sleep on it.
Sleep on
See
it.
See how we feel tomorrow.
See how you feel tomorrow.
Put a pin in it.
Pin in it. Huh. Yeah, I don't think that's gonna happen. So I will come up with some ideas because I honestly haven't thought about this very much. Other than I want us to do the hot wing challenge, like for real.
Okay, but not on LSD and not at the Cecil House, at the Naomi House.
Yeah, exactly. We have to be videoed for it though, because obviously, and then the video will be available to our subscriber members only
on OnlyFans,
so they can watch us cry.
Will it be our first OnlyFans submission?
If that's how we make our first million, I'm
all right. Well, we got a lot of figuring out to do in 2 weeks.
That's fine. I have a couple check-ins. So check-in number one is I got my COVID number one vaccination and I got a little hot and sweaty the next day, but nothing major and it felt good.
Good for you.
Yeah. I'm going to force you to get it.
Well, you have no idea the amount of anxiety that I have.
No, I know. I'm just going to sneak into your house while you're sleeping and I'm going to jab you in the arm. I already have that planned out.
Okay, just make sure it's the one-time dose one, because that's what I'm interested in.
Oh,
can I have more sake, please?
Why does that matter to you?
Why does anything matter to anybody?
Okay, I'm sneaking in your house twice. You can't stop me.
Well, I hope you catch my bugs that I have in my bed.
Oh, my. We're literally doing the podcast. My leg is touching your bed.
They're not bed bugs. They're not bed bugs. I know that because they're big. They're like this big.
Well, we talked about the weevils.
I don't think they're weevils anymore because I caught one the other night.
What do you mean? Two nights ago. What was it?
Well, I was trying to save it as a sample, but I ended up just flushing it down the toilet. Yeah, look at my neck. It bit me right here.
What is it?
I don't know.
Why are we in your bedroom?
I think that we're coming from that plant.
Are you giving me bugs right now?
No, here's what I did.
I'm going to so stick your arm with all the COVID shots.
I took the plant out and I cleaned it out.
It's still right there. No, so I don't believe it. What do you mean you cleaned it out? Like,
I mean, I looked at it to see if there are any bugs.
Oh my God.
And I watered it.
I'm already getting itchy.
That's what I mean by cleaned
it out. Oh, you gave an opportunity for more outdoor bugs to get on it before you brought it back
indoor? It's definitely an outdoor bug. It's not an indoor bug. Yeah.
You've been bitten now. This is like 2 weeks in a row that you're getting continuous bites.
I know. And I've been washing my sheets like every second and vacuuming and doing all the things. It's this weird little bug that's like this long.
I'm sorry. I'm moving my stuff off of your mattress.
It's like a brownish black. It has legs and like a little snout.
Gross. Gross. Why are we in here?
I don't know.
I have another check-in. So I just want to give a big kudos to my aunt who has been waiting for a lung transplant for 3 years now. Finally got the phone call. Went in for surgery yesterday and she's doing really well. She's in recovery and starting to get kind of taken off of the extra stuff and she's doing well. So very happy about that.
That's great news.
It is good news. Oh, that was all. That was my check-in. COVID. I feel immune. I feel like a superhero.
Cool.
Yeah. And then you infect me with bugs. So thanks.
Yeah. It's just like one bug that occasionally comes here.
I don't think you really understand how bugs work. Usually there's more than one. You have like multiple bites. You think like it's
no,
just
it
one?
Always bites twice at a time. It's always like a twofer. It's like a chomp chomp.
Or that's like the male and the female before they like lay their baby eggs inside your skin.
Yeah, so that's so in the middle of the night at like 1:30 to 2:30 in the morning, two nights ago, that's what I was doing, was stripping my bed down, trying to find the little fucker because I felt it bite me this time. It woke me up. Which it hasn't happened before. So I'm like, I know you're in here, you little motherfucker. And I found it. But, you know, being up in the middle of the night doing that kind of like cracks you out a little bit. So I didn't go back to sleep after that.
Speaking of drugs, how have you been?
I'm great.
Good.
Kumpai.
All right.
I get to go first and I'm so excited.
I'm glad you get to go first.
All right. Are you ready?
Wait. Yes.
Give yourself a refill.
Yeah. Aren't my
little sake cups cute?
Your little sake cups are adorable, but I wish they were like five times this size and still as adorable.
But that's not the point of Japanese things. Everything is small and cute. Kawaii.
But it really makes me feel like I'm not drinking this in moderation when we're 10 minutes in and this is my fifth sippy thimble.
Well, you're supposed to, kanpai anyway.
Really?
Yeah.
You just shot it?
Yeah. I mean, you can sip it if you want to, but whatever. You do you.
Thanks.
I'm going to talk about tarot cards.
Ooh.
Have you ever had your cards read, Macy?
My goodness. We could even call my sister who does tarot card readings. She does. She has them. She is certified.
I didn't realize there was an online certification program.
There is.
Have you had your cards read?
She's done mine once.
Okay. And did you feel like it was helpful?
I mean, it basically told me all that I knew already. It all applied.
Did it give you any helpful, like, action to take?
No, it was about as helpful as the counseling appointment I didn't attend today.
I guess you get out of it what you put into it, just like counseling.
Yes.
I had mine read a long time ago at the fair, and it scared the shit out of me, and I've never done it since. But I'm turning a corner in that area because I have renewed interest and openness.
I have another counselor friend who, like, recommended to me someone who does spiritual readings. It wasn't a tarot card specifically.
Mm-hmm.
She said if I was interested.
Like a psychic?
Yeah. It was a psychic.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm a psychic, kind of.
No, you're not. Are you?
Yeah, a little bit.
What does that mean?
What do you think it means?
You're not psychic enough to know where the bugs are in advance before they bite you.
That's not how it works.
Is it because they're not dead yet?
That's right.
Okay.
The one from the toilet is speaking to me right now.
Got it.
It's saying, shit! So tarot cards are divination tools that allow the reader to gain knowledge, guidance, messages, information, or inspiration from spirit or higher consciousness. There are many other divination tools besides tarot cards, such as the I Ching, pendulums, runes, and even, I learned, asparagus.
Is it what color your pee turns?
Probably. There's a lady that uses asparagus as a divination tool.
Okay.
So for seekers or clients, tarot cards can help you alter your destiny in your favor.
So this actually so I was supposed to do something.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I constantly do nothing.
Well, that means you're
in terms of change.
You're not taking control of your destiny.
Nope. Just really ride in this
I learned a waterfall. New word. Cartomancy.
Cartomancy.
Which is divination with cards.
Cartomancy. Is it cart or card?
Carta.
Carta.
With a T, not cardomancy. You would think it's cartomancy, but it's cartomancy.
It's more complicated.
It's probably
than that.
Fucking Latin, you know. It's like more complicated than it needs to be.
I was thinking it sounds like cartography.
It does.
Which is different.
The study of maps.
Maps, yeah.
You know how I know that? Because of Arrested Development. Because Buster studied cartography.
I'm sure History Channel at some point embedded that into my mind.
Let's talk about the card meanings.
Yes.
The images on the cards cause people to respond on both conscious and unconscious levels. So that's very important.
Are you supposed to speak and share while they're being shown?
Well,
I'm just figuring out how I did all this wrong.
I think that after the cards are laid out, when they're selected, that's when the reader interprets them for you.
Okay.
I don't think it's as you go.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I've only had mine red once at the fair in Spokane. So I don't know if that was the best example.
You're kind of reminding me of the movie Big.
Those things freak me the fuck out.
But I always buy a fortune teller.
Yes, I always buy a ticket on one of those.
Big with Tom Hanks, right?
Yes.
Tom Hanks. Oh, I went on a Tom Hanks binge. This is relevant just because I can make it so. Tom Hanks binge in Disney movies. He's in his underwear a lot. I don't know if he signs that into his contract of like, I'll do this Disney movie if I can show my man butt a lot.
I think, you know, that's just Will Ferrell just every day too.
He's well, that's like true. He likes being
always
in his undies.
Naked or tidy whiteies or baggy whiteies. They're not even that tight.
Yeah, no, yeah.
He's always got kind of the saggy butt, like he's been wearing them for 7 days.
Yeah, yeah, like there's a bigger butt in there at some point. Tom Hanks likes load. Them tight. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so there are hundreds of tarot decks out there, different decks, but most of them have the same basic structure. There are differences and variations, but there's a basic sameness. So
they're all cards.
So when I speak about what, you know, they look like, this is just in general. There are 78 cards made from two arcana. Another new word I learned. It's a Latin word for secret.
Ooh, is that like an arcane? Like I've read this. I've read the word arcane in like fantasy probably, books.
Yeah, it's probably related to the same like root word.
Arcane magic.
So probably secret magic.
Wow.
So there are two arcana, the major arcana and the minor arcana. The 56 minor arcana cards are the predecessor to our modern playing cards, which are divided into four suits also. Mysteriously, the knight cards disappeared along the way, which is why we only have 52 cards in our card decks that we use here in the U.S.
Hmm.
The 22 major arcana cards show archetypes and are numbered 1 through 21. And then there's the Fool card, which stands apart. And this card does not have a number. And it can be interpreted as us or the human traveler on a metaphorical path through life. Could be innocence, a neutral card, a zero card. And then the remaining major arcana cards show the journey from birth to through enlightenment to death. And so this journey runs parallel to the archetypal hero's journey. Would you like to look at some cards?
Yes. I like that you reach for the handle. Completely miss it. Okay.
I did.
You have some or
Amazon,
like you bought some for
2-day
this?
Shipping and they arrived today.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
So I haven't really like done much more to them except unwrap them and take them out and then put them back in. So I thought, as I described,
handy tin can,
the major arcana that you could enjoy looking at them.
Are you going to read my fortune?
No, I am just receiving this from Amazon Prime today. I am not ready to do anybody's reading. So they're in order. So that's the Fool card on top.
Fool, the Fool. The Magician, the High Priestess, the Empress, the Emperor.
Wait, I'm going through them one at a time.
Oh.
Just wait. Okay, so the Fool.
Yes.
That's the beginning of a new journey, optimism, freedom, childish innocence.
Is that because he's standing on a cliff edge? Because he's naive.
He's innocent.
Naivete, perhaps?
Yeah, I mean, but think about all the depths to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if you haven't been hurt, you don't have that trauma in your body, right?
Mm-hmm,
you don't
mm-hmm.
know.
Innocence.
So then we have the Magician.
Yes.
And some of these names might not match up completely.
Okay.
So this is willpower, desire, creation, manifestation. Does that Magician point above and below?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
He has a candle holding up in one, and then he's pointing down below.
So they're in like symbolism and mysticism. There's a concept of as above, so below.
Oh, there's a scary movie about that.
Which is also if you dismantle like the Star of David is the same. So
it well, and there's one on the table. Well, and then there's what like the infinity sign above his head.
Yeah, so there's lots of symbolism. That's a big part of this and archetypes. So sometimes a card, so when they're dealt, they end up being upside down. So that alters the meaning. So a reversed magician shows cunning, trickery, or deception. And then it's also meaningful where the card appears in the spread. So there's all these different spread patterns you can learn too, how you lay them out, you know, and that all alters the different meanings. For example, left side cards might represent the past, middle cards the present, and right side cards the future. And then positionality may also indicate what part of the seeker's life the card reflects. So does it have to do with money or relationships or love or travel or work, etc. So number two is the High Priestess. And the upright meaning is intuitive.
Is there a reason why it says BJ?
Well, my mind went somewhere real bad. I would have to do more research into the symbolism. I just unwrapped this or unboxed it, as they say today. So, the cards. So it's your inner voice.
She's holding a scroll that says the Torah.
Oh, we'll see. Yeah. There's a lot of Jewish iconography in here. So number three, the Empress. This is fertility, nature, and then reverse is dependence, smothering, or emptiness.
She looks fertile.
Does she? Does she got birth and hips?
I mean, they have her with her, her like knees kind of sitting apart, and she's sitting down, and there's like a lot of pillows.
And then the Emperor, number four, authority, structure, and control.
He looks mean.
What's the picture on number five? Because my description here says the Hierophant, but I wasn't sure what a Hierophant was.
Yeah, the Hierophant.
What's a Hierophant? Oh. Can I look at the picture?
Yeah, so here's the picture. So I play a video game called The Binding of Isaac, and when you press the Hierophant, so like if you get that skill, what happens is you drop life in order to pick up life. So like you lose some in order to get some of a different kind. I don't know if that's relevant, but.
Well, this card has to do with it's better to follow your own social structures, which are established and have their own traditions. So all these cards in the beginning part of the deck are about the beginning of the journey. So number six is the Lovers. And it's a warning to make choices wisely because there are far-reaching consequences.
This man has a very disturbing weenus.
Oh, there's a weenus?
Yeah, it's very weird. There's definitely a hanging flap of skin behind the weenus.
I think that's called a scrotum.
I don't think that's what that is. Look at it. I don't think that's, I mean.
Are you looking at this weenus or this weenus?
No, not that one. Yeah, the one on the side.
I don't know. I would have to get out my magnifying glass. It's a really small weenus. So it's important to make those wise choices. And then number seven, we have the Chariot. You must maintain focus, confidence, and determination through a process that will be full of winding turns and detours.
And there's sphinxes on this one, and they have boobies. Booby sphinxes.
Booby sphinxes. Cool. And I'm going to talk about this artist in a little bit.
Okay.
And why I selected these cards for my first deck.
Okay.
And then we have Strength. The reversed meaning of this card is you may have forgotten about your passions and may be experiencing fear or lack of conviction.
She's petting a lion, and she also has the infinity symbol above her head.
And then number nine, the Hermit. It's okay to take time for self-reflection and decluttering of the mind. It could also mean taking action that is authentic and aligned with one's true self. And then we have number 10, the Wheel of Fortune. And it's important to keep moving and make the best of what can't be changed. No matter outcomes that they won't last, the wheel always turns.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Justice, number 11, which is about balancing giving and taking, being fair, and being accountable.
Mm-hmm.
So then we go into the underworld with number 12.
He's upside down.
The Hanged Man.
He's upside down. And he's like hanging off of a tree upside down by his ankle.
So now this is like the part of the hero's journey where shit gets real. And this means sacrifices may be needed. It means looking at the world from a new angle. Certain activities may need to be suspended. Got it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that there may be a period of indecision.
Okay.
And then we have death.
Yep. Death on a horse.
So this is where one major phase of your life is ending and a new one is going to start. It's like new beginnings.
This horse is literally going to step on this child's face.
Oh my God.
It's pretty hardcore.
And the fool shouldn't be afraid of change. And then we have temperance, number 14. This is the balance of heart and mind, of patience. And then reversed, it's indicative of an imbalance or a warning that a certain path will lead to turbulence and stress. And then we have number 15, the devil. We all have a darker side which we must overcome, such as materialism or substance abuse. And it may indicate that we feel powerless or trapped. And it may indicate that we've given up something that is essential to our soul's well-being.
I like that the devil here like is holding a torch that's lighting the little devil person in the butt.
And then the last part of this middle part of the journey is the tower. And this is the shattering of old illusions, seeking new beliefs upon which to rebuild, which I love that idea.
The picture is literally people jumping out of a flaming building.
Yeah, get away from those old beliefs.
Yeah, and it shows like a lightning arrow knocking the crown off the top of this building. Very symbolic.
I love that picture. So the last part of the journey is hope. So we have 17, the star. So this is new opportunities. Reversed, it can mean you need to silence your inner critic. Mm-hmm. And then we have the moon. And it's number 18, which is my lucky number. The card of intuition. The moon's light can bring you clarity and understanding. You should allow your intuition to guide you through this darkness. And then the sun. This is about contentment, success, optimism. Reverse might mean you're being unrealistic, taking things for granted, or being overconfident. Then we have judgment, number 20. Self-assessment is needed. You are in a period of awakening.
So it's showing like them
your
like
eyes are opening now.
Coming out of these like catacombs almost.
Yeah, you're being woke, you're not seeing beyond the veil.
21, that's my card.
Yeah, that's the last one. So of the major arcana, and that's the world. So this is completion, achievement. Your efforts are paying off. And then there's also a first full circle element where it's important to give back to the community because everything is connected.
Da-da-da. So
that made me think of, oh my God, is that the Ouro?
Yeah, that's the card.
That's the Ouroboros, like we just talked about?
Yeah.
Like last set one?
Yeah.
Oh my God, everything is connected. That gave me chills, actually. Yeah, that's cool. So those are the major arcana.
You're so ready to do a reading on me. How do you do it?
I'm not going to do it. I have to like study more. I'm not going to I don't take this life lightly.
Lightly.
So those are those. And then, oh my God, I just dumped them all out. Jesus Christ. I asked my son if we could borrow his deck just to look at if he wanted to. He's had this deck for many years. He got it in Portland.
They have lots of these decks in Portland.
Oh, yeah. You can't swing a dead cat and not find like a tarot card store.
What kind of saying is that? Swing a dead cat?
I don't know. I have a cousin that always says it.
Oh, that's weird.
But hers is, you can't swing a dead cat and not hit a sushi store here.
Well, why are you swinging dead cats?
I don't know.
These smell like patchouli.
My son has owned those for many years, and his room is very fragrant for many reasons.
I like your deck better.
So he selected those. He liked that they're all black and white, and also there's tons of Hebrew on there also.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, they do. They're a lot more graphic, like the pictures.
Yeah. The history and origin of the tarot card is not perfectly clear, but researchers say they likely date back to the 14th century, originating with Egyptian Mamluk cards, which was a card game that were brought to Western Europe from Turkey. And then by the mid-1400s, the Italian aristocracy was enjoying a game known as Tarocchi Appropriati. And this was a game where players were dealt random cards and used thematic associations to write poetic verses about one another.
Ooh.
So like you'd pull a card and like I'd have to write a poetic verse about you.
Interesting. It kind of reminds me of some of like the more subjective psychological tests where like you show kind of an
ink blot.
Like an ink blot, but you can also, it could be kind of like a vague picture and you have the person like create a story about what's happening in the picture.
Oh, like the tat?
Yeah, yeah. So.
Or thematic apperception test.
Thematic apperception test.
For the lay person.
Yes. Those are pretty, you get some good stuff out of people.
I used to make my own.
It's fun.
For fun. Back when I had a different job at my work where I had more time to do fun things.
Yeah, I taught that actually in a class, and it was fun to have the students do it. They got all
It's cool. So these predictive cards were referred to as sorts, meaning destinies or lots. The oldest known tarot cards that are still in existence were commissioned by the rich Italian Visconti family around 1450. At that time, they were used as a parlor card game that was a fad of the wealthy, similar to modern-day bridge.
Oh.
So you know they're rich because they have a parlor. I do not have a parlor. It's like a room dedicated just to things like playing a card game.
Oh. Is that like the people who, I don't know, where they have that one room that no one can go in? I don't have one of those, but...
You mean like the room where
plastic
wrap?
Yeah,
yeah.
And there's like a little dog.
It's like the good room.
Yeah,
the good furniture
that nobody uses.
Yes, it's for company, but company never comes over.
Yeah, because
you don't want to ruin the good room. People are dirty. It's way true.
They bring in bugs.
Totally. I know. I was telling Skylar actually yesterday about
real laughter,
the bugs.
Hiding true pain.
The bugs. And then I'm like, I don't even know what they're eating. And he's like, probably dead skin. I'm like, ew.
Well, they literally
don't have dead skin.
Sucking the life out of you.
Yeah, they are. It's like vampire bites on my neck.
Are you getting as swollen as before? Ew, don't make that noise.
I noticed this one isn't as swollen. So I think when they bit me on the underside of my
you're
top
becoming
arm.
Immune to your bites.
No, I think it's like more sensitive in certain areas.
Oh, the underarms.
Okay. So these expensive artist made decks of the 1400s in Italy were known as carte de triomphe or cards of triumph. So historians are continually trying to research the origins of the tarot cards, but there's still many holes in the larger story. Those who use cards for divination are often at odds with academics researching these, and there's a lot of friction between tarot historians and card readers about the origins and purpose of cards. So practitioners that use them for divination may not jive with the idea that it originated as like a card game.
As a game.
Like, yeah, that they're more spiritual than that.
Hard to get paid.
So the evidence suggests, according to graphic designer and artist Bill Wolf, that they were invented for gaming and evolved later for use in divination. So either way, if it was from the beginning or later, the tarot eventually was a system of divination. And then each card required a meaning, and the symbolism represented the culture of the time. So the first cards had lots of Christian iconography, lots of court symbolism. Mm-hmm. And the minor arcana cards represented the class society of the time.
I bet you there's a Game of Thrones tarot card somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure there is. So these minor arcana cards add subtleties and details to the interpretation of the cards. It's because we just talked about the 21 mm-hmm. major ones, but there's 56 other ones. And so the minor arcana cards are believed to represent ordinary features of life. So there's the court cards with the kings, queens, knights, and jacks, and they can represent people that we've met. And then there are the suits. So common suits are wands, cups, swords, and pentacles. And the suits can also represent the elements.
What's a pentacle?
Pentagram.
Oh, thanks. I was going to let it slide, but it would have bothered me.
So they can also represent four elements: fire, earth, water, and air. Chinese folk, like myself, believe there are five elements. So there is a difference culturally between the whole element thing. Eventually, card decks began to be printed in mass and sold. And mysticism experienced a revival in the 1800s and really peaked in the mid-1800s. And so people had renewed interest in esoteric practices such as the Kabbalah and alchemy. And one such group, the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, really promoted intellectual curiosity and the occult, ritual, and magic. And over time, the symbolism and meaning of divination cards has changed depending on each era's culture and the needs of individual users. However, seekers' questions remain the same. What does one need to let go of? What does one need to embrace? So there's different decks, obviously. We have two here. So I'm going to tell you about why I chose this deck for my first deck. It is in 1909, the Waite-Smith deck was created, which is what this one is. And the artist, Pamela Coleman Smith, was a queer woman of color. Oh. And look at her face. She just looks like all kinds of mischief for 1909.
Oh, dang. Yeah, she...
Like, I would have been best friends with her.
You would have been, like, playing poker and reading tarot cards.
I mean, drinking, I'm pretty sure whiskey. She probably smoked cigarettes or cigars or something.
She looks sassy.
She looks sassy AF. Yeah. So she worked in collaboration with mystic Arthur Waite, who commissioned the work. And Pamela, or Pixie, as her nickname was, painted this deck, which was actually revolutionary because it was the first deck that had images on every card. Mm-hmm. So she painted cards even on the number cards, which hadn't been done before. Mm-hmm. And so that really helps draw out a story. Those numbered suit cards are called pip cards, I learned. Pip, pip, pip. And so being able to have more images helps you build a stronger narrative. And so all the cards that have come after have been really heavily influenced by these cards. Yeah. So that's Pamela Coleman Smith. I just wanted to talk briefly about another person who was also a member of the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. Oh, she was also a member. Did I say that?
No.
So she was a member of this mystical group, the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. And so another member was Aleister Crowley. Mr. Crowley. Dun, dun, dun. That's
a song?
That's an Aussie song.
Yeah.
So look at his face. What's your first reaction?
He looks... He looks...
Scowly?
Like he sat... Like... I don't know, like he swung a dead cat around.
But didn't hit something good?
Yeah.
Okay, so he was an occultist, a poet, a magician, a prophet in the religion Thelema, which he founded. And he was a mountaineer.
That's like our cult. You know, if I pass away, I want that on my tombstone, our cult name that has never done anything, but we did create it.
Aletheia.
Founder of Aletheia, co-founder of Aletheia.
Prophet.
Call me prophet.
Founder and prophet.
Founder and prophet of Aletheia. Also a magician.
Poet and a prophet. It's another song by my old love, Anthony Kiedis. He wrote the Book of Thoth, which accompanied his own card deck that he created in collaboration with artists in 1944. So everybody can have a deck, really. Is tarot divination evil?
I would assume not.
I watch, you know how I like to do a deep dive on the YouTubes. I watched a video for several minutes by a lady that
for several minutes.
Well, it was 8 minutes. That was just too long. Cause it was just, I mean, her point had been made. I didn't need to listen to her reiterate
so what she was saying, that
she had been involved in making tarot decks in a former part of her life, but now she was like born again and she was just repenting and just so sorry. And cause she hadn't known how evil they were. And the reason it came up in my thing is because she specifically mentioned Aleister Crowley as a terrible, terrible, evil human being.
Oh.
Who basically frolicked with the devil. So there are a lot of people that believe tarot divination is evil. And I decided to do some research to see, and it is true, there are many, many passages in the Torah and the Bible that clearly forbid divination. So here's one from Deuteronomy 18:10. It says, "Let no one be found among you who consigns his son or daughter to the fire, or who is an augur, a soothsayer, a diviner, or sorcerer."
So do you think that's because it was back like in the, I don't know what year that was. Was that back when like witches were a thing?
When the Torah, that's like,
then yeah.
I don't know, like 5,000 years ago or something.
Sounds like a time when they'd be burning the witches.
That was
later.
I don't think Jews burned witches. They may have turned certain people into pillars salt.
I was about to say, yeah, that may be.
But that's different. That seems less painful.
Is it like a slug? Is it like salting a slug? Is that better? I
think there may have been some smoting, which may have involved fire.
Can you explain that? What is smoting?
I think that's when God is pissed at somebody and just like points his finger at them.
And then they catch fire.
It's like a poof of smoky lightning and they're just basically ash.
Oh.
I mean, this is just my imagination. I'm not sure. I smoked too much weed during Sunday school, so I can't be expected to hold on to the facts.
I schmoted too much.
I schmoted too much. But I just wanted to see, you know, if there was something behind it. And yes, there is. So there's worry that in communicating through the cards, you may be opening a portal to the devil and become possessed. So sort of like a Ouija board that we talked about.
Is it just for the person doing it or the any parties? If you...
Any parties. In fact, when I
asked Skylar... So when you read my cards next week, I'm screwed. Thanks.
So
you turn me into a pillar of salt as well.
When I asked Skylar if I could borrow his cards for the night, and he's like, "Oh yeah, he has a friend, Tolkien." He's like, "I have Tolkien's deck down there too." I'm like, "Why is this here?" And he's like, "Oh, he doesn't want to keep that in his own apartment." And I'm like, what? "Well, why? If it's that dangerous, why is it in our house?"
Well, I mean, like it matters. Yours is in your top bedroom drawer.
No, I just put that there for the big reveal, so you wouldn't see.
Where do you keep it regularly?
I just got it today.
Outside.
Amazon.com.
Where are you going to put it after tonight?
I'm not sure. We'll see.
You have to think special. About it. Put it in your coffin in the basement.
I think I'll put it in a special bag.
A special bag?
Yeah.
Okay.
A special bag.
Okay.
Perhaps made of velveteen or satin.
Something, I'm not sure. Something that makes you feel fancy because you have a tarot card deck now.
That's right.
Got it.
I'm going to study it. And when I feel confident, then I'm going to do a reading.
Okay.
Okay. So many practitioners, such as those who practice hoodoo, use tools and techniques such as tarot alongside their Christian beliefs and practices. They're not exclusive to one another. It is all about using all that one has available to seek information, strength, and empowerment. Tarot and crime. I Googled the shit out of
I don't tarot know what that
cards
means.
And murder, tarot cards and this and that. And
what, like causing possession. Or like somebody saying I did this because my tarot cards told me to? Yeah, something.
And I could not find
any
believable stories of tarot cards being linked to possession or murder or other
sounds
crime.
A little silly to me. So,
but I did find guidance.
Just the devil.
On which cards might indicate criminal activity is about to go down.
Ah.
So the Eight of Swords could symbolize kidnapping or hostage situations.
Dang.
The Chariot reversed.
What if you just left that out of the deck? Does that help?
I don't think you're allowed to do that.
No.
The Chariot
that
reversed.
That where stacking the deck comes from.
Yeah, it's like unstacking.
Yeah.
The Chariot reversed might indicate drunk driving or vehicular manslaughter.
These are very specific.
The Tower can indicate arson. And apparently any of the court cards reversed can indicate a shady person.
Mm.
So I thought, as a counselor, of an ethical dilemma, like if I was doing a reading and I saw something really bad was happening, like, are you obligated to tell that person? Or, I mean, I don't know how this works. Well, I'm going to have to look up the ethical code of tarot card reading.
I think that actually exists.
I'm sure it does.
What about that whole, like, you could be influencing them to act on something that they normally wouldn't otherwise because of something you just...
Yeah. I mean, I figure I'm going to write a big old disclaimer
document.
I get
really nervous with you pouring sake right over the mixer. Really stresses me out.
I did not spill a drop.
I know. I was impressed, but it really...
I don't like to waste alcohol.
Every time. It scared me.
So, two more little bits here.
Tell me your little bits.
I wanted to look into the psychology of this a little bit, but I didn't want to just do regular psychology. I wanted to...
Because who does that?
Well, it's boring.
It's us. It's us.
I wanted to look into the point of view of one of my heroes, Carl Gustav Jung, because I'm a major fan, girl.
He's all about the archetypes.
I know.
He loves them.
So I'm like, what's Mr. Jung think about this? Mm. So I wasn't disappointed. He believed tarot cards provide doorways to the unconscious and may be a way to predict the future.
Dang, he's so progressive.
Jung described archetypes as being highly developed elements of the collective unconscious. So this is the knowledge and experience we all share as a species. An echo of information through the generations. Echo, echo, echo.
That's so zen of him.
He believed archetypes have a major impact on how we live our lives.
Like the shadow. The animus.
So he said, we can predict the future when we know how the present moment evolved from the past.
Yeah.
And that absolutely fits in with like physics and our understanding of time.
The whole history repeats itself. What were all the archetypes?
Oh, they're endless.
Okay, there was a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, there was endless. I mean, he focused on like, there was like six, a small group.
A core
but there's really like... Many.
Because he had to really fit it into psychology to really be accepted within that group.
Yeah.
of his Freudian upbringing.
Don't say the F word.
That's where he came from.
I know, but
he pinned a lot of his stuff off of Freud. That's where it came bedroom. From.
You see that DSM down there, still heavily influenced
not
by
not here, Freud.
Effing Freud.
You'd be so proud of me. I'm teaching a psychopathology class, and the whole start of it is talking about the DSM and how we diagnose. And instead, I showed them a video clip of like early institutions, and then we talked about how diagnoses came to be.
Perfect.
And talked about why we need to be aware of how we got here and why that was made before we start just applying diagnoses to people.
I mean, the National Institute of Mental Health stopped being associated with the DSM many, many years ago, and they're working on a way better system. And I hope they make progress and it becomes mainstream.
Not all mental health diagnoses are a physical brain disorder that can be fixed by physical means. Sorry.
Jung called for an intuitive method that has the purpose of understanding the flow of life, possibly even predicting future events. At all events, lending itself to the reading of the conditions of the present moment. And he compared this process to the Chinese I Ching and other practices. The I Ching is confusing as fuck. I wish I understood that. One day, maybe
he'll explain it.
Understand that and Mahjong. Those are like goals for my future.
I don't
future.
Know what any of those are, so please do. One day, tell me.
Okay. What Jung aimed at through the use of divination was to accelerate the process of individuation. So this is the move towards wholeness and integrity by means of playful combinations of archetypes. So you can see how this fits in with the tarot cards. And then another mystical psychologist who I have not heard of, Alejandro Jodorowsky, puts it, the tarot will teach you how to create a soul. And Jung perceived the tarot as an alchemical game, which in his words attempts the union of opposites. So like the I Ching, it presents a rhythm of negative and positive, loss and gain, dark and light. And there is a Jungian tarot deck you can get with an accompanying book that was inspired by Jung's descriptions of the major arcana. So, Jung's interpretation of the hanged man, the upside down figure, was sacrifice of self opens the gates of knowledge of life and death, sublimation of self and limitations.
I'm sorry. I keep getting notifications from my mom sending me pictures. Her goat had babies. And I'm getting baby goat pictures on my watch. And it says, do you need a goat for your backyard? Would you like a goat, Naomi?
I kind of would like to have a goat for a day.
You can have it forever.
No.
And then you could.
I don't have the yard for that.
It would eat your yard.
Look at my yard.
It'll stand on your car.
I don't want that.
You can let it in your house. It'll bring in more bugs.
No, thank you. So, if one is willing to grant a relationship between systems of symbols and a collective unconscious, the tarot may be able to predict the future. So that's Jung. So I'm going to end with choosing the right reader. So there's a YouTube channel I've been following for several years. It's awesome. It's by San Elias out of New Orleans. He owns a store called Crescent City Conjure. And so this is his tips on choosing the right reader. Oh, go get the other one.
There's enough.
Oh, okay.
For right
for
now.
Me. For So he strongly says beginners are advised against doing their own readings. And he says it doesn't matter how good the divination tool is if the reader
sucks
or the conduit doesn't know what they're doing. So a good reader needs several skills. They need to know the classic meaning of the cards. So what does the major and minor arcana mean? They must also have a very strong connection with spirit, because once you have the book knowledge down, you know, you can find that info anywhere. I mean, I just did a Google search and came up with those interpretation of the cards that I shared tonight. You need to have spirit influencing the meaning. So that book knowledge is not enough. For example, if the cards are showing a traditional interpretation, but you have spirit in your ear telling you more or different information, you have to marry those concepts.
So listening to your intuition.
A good reader should be able to connect with you instantly without knowing you previously because of this connection with the spirit. And a good reader must also be a good communicator. If they can't spin the reading into something you can use to give you something that you can use in a constructive manner, then it's pointless. A reader should give you something useful you can take into everyday life. It shouldn't just be a generalized reading. It should be very specific and detailed to you and your life. You should be able to gain insight from it. So there can be general readings or specific readings where clients may come up with certain questions. Sometimes clients might not know what they're struggling with. So a reader's job is to help them get to the point, to get beneath the bullshit, to bring awareness to the root of the issue. Sounds like counseling, right?
Yeah, I was about to say, like,
I'm like, oh, that's okay. What I do. A solid reader will give them specific ways to change their situation. So again, that's what we do as counselors. So say, for example, you come to a reader and you want to know if your partner is cheating. A skilled reader will go beyond answering that question and see if there's a root issue to do with you, such as maybe you have unhealthy dating patterns. So as St. Elias says, the purpose of seeking a tarot reading is to overcome, and the way to do this is by making major changes. So I really like this approach because it's very empowering, and it brings focus on what we can control and helps us focus on doing that and making changes to improve our lives. And it decreases distractions on like all these other elements that are happening in our world that we can't control, and brings it to us, what we can control. And I think in this way, the tarot really can predict the future because our fate is influenced by the choices we make.
Does that mean counselors can predict the future then? Not counselors themselves, but the process of counseling.
I think so.
I think that's what
I think we have a hand in the future.
Yeah. Well, you definitely impact it.
Yeah. And that's why we have to like take that power very seriously.
Be very careful.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the whole thing with these cards too. Just like take the power very seriously.
It's almost knocked your drink off the table.
To be fair, I couldn't see it.
That doesn't make me feel better.
You know, I can't see anything.
Why don't you move it away from the electronics?
Well, okay.
Drink it. We're all out now.
So that's tarot cards.
Cool.
when I'm all practiced up, maybe yeah. I'll do a reading for you.
Okay, sounds good. I honestly a little haphazard my topic today.
I saw you over there furiously scribbling notes.
Well, I don't even think I can like claim that much. I circled
I saw you things. Furiously circling things.
So I'm going to talk about the horrifying world of Disney World.
I've been there.
Have you?
In Florida, yes.
Yeah. What was your experience like?
Well, I was like younger, so.
Did you enjoy yourself?
I really enjoyed Epcot Center.
Did you love it?
I think that was the first time I had sake.
Really?
Mm. Yeah, because my grandpa took me there and he was obsessed with Japanese culture.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
I don't think I was 21.
How old were you?
I think I was 20. I think I was like 20, yeah, but he would like
close
sneak me the alcohols.
So this actually started with me finding, like, this is actually a big list of like facts about it. And then I found like some weird facts. And then I found something actually really creepy that I didn't know, and you probably didn't know either. So the very first weird thing about Disney World, because if you go there, you need to know these things. I feel like this is the only thing that would make a parent's time at Disney World more interesting. First one is that an Imagineer named George was actually killed during building Pirates of the Caribbean. It is said that his ghost haunts the ride to this day. Workers say goodnight, George, before they shut down the ride every night as a superstition.
Goodnight, George.
To prevent the attraction from breaking down the next day.
Oh.
Yeah. Underneath Disney World, there's actually miles of underground tunnels. Did you know this?
I did not.
That's where all of the like costume departments and cast member rooms, it's all underneath the ground.
Are you going to talk about that horrible incident a few years ago?
No, you say it. Because it's not what I'm going to talk about.
Where that toddler.
Oh, yeah. That was one of the bad things.
Was it a crocodile or an alligator?
They have alligators there, not crocodiles.
Yeah. God. That was right at Disney hotels, right on the outside the hotel.
Well, and they had signs posted, but because there's alligators, but there's also small children. And that didn't go well together.
It doesn't seem like a good combination for like a little touristy beach spot with kids running around.
Yeah, like you should have it gated off then or something.
I think they made a lot of changes after that.
Yeah, like your toddler shouldn't be able to wander up to the shore with the alligators.
Yeah.
Probably not a good idea. Because it was literally like down the slope from the hotel.
It was right, yeah, where you could just wander down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I don't think a little 10 by 10 sign that says, oh, there's alligators here is enough. When you're Disney, I think you have way more liability than that.
Yeah, I'd be like, haha, alligators. Yeah, no, you need it blocked off and maybe take the alligators out. Just saying. Maybe it's not the best place for them to be. No, I am glad you brought that up. That was one of the ones on here. So, and then there was also Disney World actually averages about 50,000 people a day. It's a lot of people in and out of there. Think of all the COVID. So much COVID.
I'm not used to being around a lot of people anymore.
No? Me neither.
Yeah.
I was just talking. Just a random tangent. I was just talking. It's been the year since COVID happened. And I have a lot of anxiety about being around people. I've even had like one vaccination. I'm still like, get away from me. and like not trusting people if they don't have a mask on. Like just... I don't know that you're vaccinated. I don't know that you have a problem. Like, it scares me still. And I think,
yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be very cautious. It's going to take a while.
Yeah. All my poor clients who have OCD, like at first they were like, oh, actually my anxiety's gone down. Yeah.
Cause you don't, you're not facing anything.
Yeah. You just get to stay at home and do your comfort things. It's this part that's going to be really hard now for everybody, but especially that chunk of the population that already struggled with social anxiety and OCD type stuff. So, tangent. Okay. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride at Disney World was an original park favorite. It closed it and they put a tombstone for the pet in the pet cemetery for the toad. For J. Thaddeus Toad.
He died?
Well, they closed his ride. And so in the pet cemetery, they put a tombstone for him.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. As a like RIP toad.
So it's a good time to teach kids about death.
Oh, just you wait. okay. Some random other things. Epcot's Mission Space Attraction needs more computer power than NASA's real space shuttle.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a lot. The hydraulic thruster and cylinder used to bring the Yeti to life at the top of the Expedition Everest uses more power than 747 jet engine.
Have you been to Disney World?
I've been to Disneyland. Different.
Disney World is crazy. It's a whole city. Like, they have their own highways. They have their own police.
It's huge. Isn't it like... Gosh, what was it? Like, there's like 50 square miles.
It's enormous. They have like mansions. Like, you can live there. You can own your own private mansion home.
I'm going to talk about a creepy mansion here in a minute. So, did you know that Walt Disney, he died of lung cancer in 1966. His last words, just guess.
Freeze my head.
Kurt Russell. Because Kurt Russell at the time just signed a 10-year contract for Disney movies. Those were his dying words, Kurt Russell.
To be fair.
Yeah.
He was a Disney darling.
He was. Yeah. So I thought that was funny. Okay. But all of that brought me to this weird thing that I found out.
Those will not be my dying words.
So there's this urban legend That people have scattered the ashes of their loved ones at Disney World and Disney parks, but it's actually very true.
What?
Yes. So there's actually a code word that the employees have when they have to shut down rides so they can clean up ashes that have been dumped by people.
They're taking them up on like a big Ferris wheel and just letting them into the wind?
So there's actually certain places. I think one of them is called, let's see here. There's like a specific, the Haunted Mansion probably has the most human ashes.
So is it because people's like dying wish was scatter my ashes at the Haunted Mansion?
Yeah, so like a lot of people feel like their loved ones would be happy resting at Disney World.
Or is it because they want to haunt the Haunted Mansion forever?
Some think it's a good way to say goodbye because their families are there and they get to all say goodbye and be happy one last time. It's weird. It's weird to me.
I've never known anybody that is like this, but I know some people are obsessed with Disney.
No, and that's what this like is. It's like the obsessed people. They actually, the code word, so have you heard like HEPA, like a HEPA filter?
Yes.
It's like a cleaner. That's the code word. So if you're ever walking down Disney World and you hear HEPA cleanup.
Ew.
That means someone just tried to get away with spreading the ashes of a loved one somewhere in the happiest place on earth.
So wait, I mean, what do? Do they go in and vacuum it up and give it back?
So the employees call that order to maintain the smiley status quo. And they go and they may have to go clean up the human ashes. Here, human ashes in their hands. So it was actually the Wall Street Journal that did kind of an expose on this. Because they talked to former custodians of both parks, as well as other people who claimed to have spread the ashes there. One woman said she stashed her mother's ashes in a pill bottle, while others explained that it was actually really easy to sneak in human remains through the bag check line.
Yeah, I don't see why. Think it would be that hard.
A compact or, you know, some unassuming container.
I mean, I could like put them in my bra.
They're not going to pat down your boobage.
No.
Employees said that this happens at least once a month.
Okay. Why are they getting caught though? That tells me that they're not very sneaky. It seems like it'd be easy to get away with just a little sprinkle here, a little there.
Well, believe it or not, there's certain like popular places. So the employees like know to kind of keep an eye out for it.
What are the popular places?
All right. So the first one is among the kind of the bushes and flowers on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Are they real bushes and flowers?
I don't know. I haven't been there. Maybe. Probably not. there's also the pond beneath the Dumbo ride.
Oh.
Is a big one. And the Haunted Mansion was the other one, but that one they said is probably, if the quote was, the Haunted Mansion probably has so much human ashes, it's not even funny. That's
so what
the custodian
said. I mean, does that add to the hauntedness?
I think so. Like, how many ghost people are there for reals?
So there's probably for reals ghost
for
people.
For reals ghost people. All their ashes are spread. And then, like, what happens when all these people's ashes mix together? Do they make, like, a super ghost? Yeah, like a mega ghost. I wouldn't want to work there.
I would not want to clean up the ashes and throw them away.
Yeah,
like that's fucked up. Like I would quit. That'd be the day I quit.
So
I think they have to bury them or do something.
Disney's response is like they're totally on top of the issue. the custodians at both parks know what human ashes look like.
What?
They are that familiar with it because it happens so often. And they can easily find them because often what happens is people tend to like drop them in piles in places.
No, so you got to sprinkle it, just a little light sprinkling.
Yeah, but if you think about it, like someone's on a ride, they're trying to do it quick and not be seen.
See, that's where they're going wrong. I bet the only people that are aware of are the people that aren't very good at it.
Probably.
There's probably so much ashes that are just there by people that just do a delicate here and there. A flake here, a flake there.
Yeah. And they said that like the park is so heavily monitored, like camera wise, that it's very hard. Like most people get caught in the act. Like they're seen and somebody shows up next to them and escorts them off the premises.
Here's what I would do.
Shit, tell me your plans.
I would have some deep pockets.
Yeah.
Perhaps like some Bermuda shorts, a wide leg short.
A nice and flappy a little yoga pant.
Teeny perhaps. Hole in the bottom of one of the pockets. And as I would just walk.
You just sprinkle it about. A little
sprinkle. Yeah. So no, it wouldn't look like I'm flinging anything at all.
But like if you want it like in your favorite ride, Pirates of the Caribbean, you want it on the bush.
But I do a little like shimmy, shimmy, shimmy.
But it's something that you got to toss.
No, it's shimmy it.
You can't shimmy it. You're on a boat. Logistics, woman, logistics.
I'd stand up, pretend I'm taking a shit over the edge.
Yeah. Oh, and that won't get you in trouble.
They'd be so distracted by the fact that I'm shitting, they would miss the ashes coming out the other side.
Probably.
I got this all worked out.
Okay, I'm happy for you. Whose ashes are you going to drop
in? Nobody's.
Okay. Yeah, you don't want to give it
remember
away.
Remember, I'm a Jew. We don't do the cremation thing.
Yeah, that's fair. So the term HEPA refers to the type of attachment used for sucking up the ashes into a vacuum. The HEPA attachment focuses on ultrafine particles like ashes, and the remains are then transferred to the trash.
So, see, that's not cool.
So that's the thing. It's like these people do this like memorable thing of, oh, I'm going to leave them here. They get vacuumed up and put in a trash can with everybody's like Disney World paraphernalia.
That just doesn't seem, it seems sacrilegious.
Well, yeah. Like, but what do? You leave the piles of dead bodies where everyone can see it? Because eventually,
I think they should do
one body's worth of ashes a month. That doesn't take that long to make it visible.
Listen, Disney people, this is what you should do. You should make this an attraction where you charge people good Disney dollars to be able to spread their loved ones' ashes, their Disney loving relatives' ashes. 50 somewhere.
Square miles to play with here.
Make like a beautiful little Disney pond.
Feed it to the crocodile, alligators.
Something.
Yeah.
I think it's a missed fiscal opportunity.
I don't think they're missing much fiscal opportunity. They don't even sell gum there because they don't want gum spit out or stuck to things. Yeah, like that's strategic. Disney actually has Pepsi, is it only Pepsi or only Coca-Cola? I think only Pepsi. They only have one brand. Like, everything's very specific. Everything there.
They don't want to ruin the image.
Yeah, no.
I thought you were going to talk about, like, I've heard people say, like, you're not allowed to take the costume off no matter what, even if you're puking in there or dying. Because it'll ruin the illusion, the fantasy for the kids.
Well, they're not allowed to do things like that. I did find like there's more like costume changes for like Mickey Mouse than Minnie Mouse. There's 290 different costumes for Mickey.
What?
And 290 for Minnie Mouse.
What the fuck?
Or 200 for Minnie Mouse, 290 for Mickey.
That seems very unfair.
Like, how many costumes can Mickey really have? 200, apparently.
Why are there so many mouse outfits?
I know.
And why doesn't Minnie get her fair share?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Equal rights for Minnie.
Right?
That's some bullshit. What else you got?
I don't know. This is all just random stuff that isn't really that interesting. I want to hear it. I don't know.
Tell me about it.
It's not that great.
Let me be the judge.
Okay. Over 200 pairs of sunglasses are turned into lost and found each day.
I lose my sunglasses all the time. That's why I buy fucking cheap ass sunglasses.
More than 1.6 million turkey legs are consumed in the park every year. It's a fan favorite.
Ew.
You can buy turkey leg hats, t-shirts, and other souvenirs with turkey legs on them.
I had no idea.
I didn't know those. Why is that a thing?
I have never like picked up a turkey leg and just was like,
do they sell like a meat stick?
I mean, if there's turkey bones, that means they're just like eating it off the bone, like a big old John Madden bite.
The lake used for Fantasmic is only 1 foot deep. It's not deep at all. Okay, let's see here. U2 was approached to be the starring rock band for the Hollywood Studios Rock and Roller Coaster. When they declined, the ride was based on the band Aerosmith.
Aerosmith. Love in an elevator.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. Okay, I'm going to pick one more random thing.
Okay.
Technology used to make ghosts dance in the Haunted Mansion was also used to make Finding Nemo characters swim underwater with real fish found at Epcot's The Seas.
Interesting.
There's like a lot of, they spend a lot of money there. They also make a lot of money there. They make a lot of money.
Are they back open?
Oh, they pushed it so long before they closed. Oh, and I think, hold on. One of these here. Do you know you don't have to pay for water there? Like, they will give you water in a cup without making you charge for it. That's actually the thing.
Hmm.
Hold on.
What do you got? You know, your loose papers.
All over your bug bed. I don't even remember what I was looking for. 50 million Cokes are consumed each year. And you won't find Pepsi. There you go.
Oh, Coke. It's Coke, not Coke. Pepsi.
Yep, yep.
They've drawn the line.
60,000 cast members. 60,000.
I want to know what they make. Like, what is like a Cinderella make? Is it decent?
Probably not great.
I'd like to know.
I want to know what it takes for someone to decide that's now their life path.
Well, maybe it pays. Maybe
to be like in the underground tunnels of Disney World, doing your mini outfit change.
You know, this is reminding me of a book I read a while back that was based. It was kind of like an amusement park, but it was like a horror type book, and it was all about these tunnels. I think there were zombies. It was a good one.
Okay,
what the hell was that book called? Fantasyland or something? But it was just like sort of based off of like Disney World in Florida, but smaller. It's a good book. If I can remember the title, I would recommend it to you.
Cool. Did you know that all that 4% of all amateur photographs in the US were taken at a Disney park?
I had no idea. I'm not a big Disney like person.
I've never been there, so there you go. I've been to Disneyland. Like, the rides were okay, but I cannot handle the extensive amount of strollers.
I cannot handle waiting in line for anything like that.
Oh, I got the fast pass, and that's worth it. Pay the money, get to the front of the line every time.
Maybe to the front.
Mm-hmm. No, there's just a whole nother line, and you just get to walk in front of everybody else. It's like my TSA pre-check. Totally worth walking in front of everybody. Yeah.
I went to Disneyland a few times when I was little. The last time was when I was 16 on like a Hebrew school trip.
How wholesome.
And then, no, we were not wholesome. And then I went with my grandpa in Florida Disney World when I was like 20. And that's it. That's my Disney experience. I mean, my kids luckily they're not into amusement parks. I always ask them because I don't want them to miss out on something. Like,
they're
always
a little old now.
No, but even when they're younger, I've always like, is that something you want to do? Because we go to California all the time, or we did pre-COVID. And they never care. They never want to do the Universal Studios or any of that stuff, which is fine with me.
I really liked seeing I got to see the Iron Man suits. That was cool. Like, seeing the Marvel stuff was kind of neat.
When I went to Universal Studios, it was like 1983 or something. And there's a picture of me somewhere riding an ET bike across a green screen. And then you got a photo and it looked like you were like riding across the sky.
No.
I'm going to find that.
No.
And I'm going to show you.
All right. Well, until next time.
Until next time.
The small world after all.
Choose your own destiny.